Abraham didn't wait around. He didn't wait around for God to explain everything. He didn't even wait around for God to provide everything. What Abraham did is he knew at least the basics of what God had called him to do, and he moved into action. He got up the next morning, he cut the wood, he saddled the donkey, and he started walking. Hey, wouldn't it be nice if just everything you needed fell from the sky? I mean, hamburgers, cheeseburgers, milkshakes, money, steak, not quinoa, steak, furniture, I don't know, a new car, a house. Wouldn't it be amazing if just all of a sudden every provision you ever need just kind of fell from the sky? How many would just love that? And it would never hit you on the head and be like, that'd be amazing. Well, what if I told you it kind of already did? Today we're in our series, Now Showing, and we're talking about who God really is. And let's look at our theme verse for this series. It's from Romans 1:20. It says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities. You know what that means? It means from the very beginning, day one, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. There's no excuse for not serving God and believing in him and trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because it doesn't take much to step back and look around at life and look around at just creation and recognize we have a God who provides. Today in our series, we're going to talk about that this morning. What's showing today? Well, the God who provides. Everyone say provides. What is it that you have been asking God for? Some of you have been asking God for something for a long time. You've been asking for a financial breakthrough. You've been asking for health. You've been asking for a new job. You've been asking for some sort of provision. Maybe some of you have been asking for a child. You've been asking for a significant someone. Something in your life you've been praying, God, I'm seeking you about this thing. What is it that you have been asking God for today? I want to introduce you this morning to the God who provides. And the Bible's very clear about that. Since the beginning, when we look around, we can see that we have a God who provides. And there's a story in the Bible that really sets this tone in Genesis chapter 22, and it's a story about Abraham and his son Isaac, and we really pick up how God really provides and wants to provide for us. And we're going to read some of the story this morning. Here's how it begins. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. Are you going through a testing time right now? Some of you are in a season of testing, and it feels like maybe things are really hard and maybe too hard. Well, God tests Abraham, and he said, Abraham said, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain that I will show you. How many of you would be very excited about that? You got that one kid, God, if you just ask me to sacrifice this one, I'll be okay with it. The problem with Abraham is that this was his only son. This was the son of promise. This was the one that God said, through your seed, all the nations in the world is going to be blessed through you because of this one son. So when we read this, no matter how many times I read this, it's difficult to swallow because this is a big ask. How many know that? This is a big thing for God to say, okay, I want you to sacrifice your son. How is it possible that God could ask him to do that? That seems kind of strange, especially when you read the scriptures and you see that God has forbidden human sacrifice. That's not what God wants from us. That's why we look at pagan religions and things that are taught by demons, and they talk about sacrificing your children to the fire and things like that. And that's not God's way at all. So how is it that God could ask him to do that, especially since Isaac was the son of the promise? Because as you read through the story, what you're recognizing here is that God is testing Abraham's faith. Maybe you're going through this time of testing right now, and God is going through the testing right now. And God tests and prove, God tests, prove, and purifies your faith, preparing you for his provision. We're not there yet, but it's up on the screen. And so when you go through testing, what's God doing? The same thing he did for Abraham, and he's proving and purifying your faith. He's proving and purifying your faith. Some of you are going through a great season of testing right now. Your emotions are being tested. Your marriage is being tested. Your life is being tested. And it's those times in our life that God uses, just like he is with Abraham, he is actually proving and purifying your faith. What? He's getting you ready for the provision. And right now he's getting Abraham ready for the provision that he's about to bring. It's really easy sometimes in the difficult seasons of life to just want to quit. Anybody here ever wanted to quit? And you're like, man, God, this is not what I had planned. Do you think as your pastor that this was part of my plan for us to be at Regal Cinemas? This was not part of my plan, but yet here we are. And sometimes we go through things in life that, hey, this was not part of my plan. We can't see the full story, but God does. And through these seasons of testing, God proves and purifies our faith, getting us ready for the provision. Why? Because it's through that testing that we can really appreciate the provision when it comes. Because if it just rained from the skies, we'd be like, okay, we just would take it for granted. But sometimes when we have to go through the ringer, boy, when the provision comes. And that's what God is doing in Abraham's life. That's why we can read the book of James with so much power and confidence when he says this in the Bible, consider it pure joy. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because we know that the testing of your faith produces what? Perseverance. That testing produces perseverance to go through that trial, to go through that big ask from God. Well, we're to let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You see, when we go through that time where God proves and purifies our faith, we recognize, God, I'm really not lacking anything. You know, sometimes the testing makes us realize that we didn't need what we wanted in the first place. Some of you need to let that settle in a little bit. When you get through that testing time, you recognize, well, I guess I really didn't need that in the first place. And God says, yeah, because I've got something better for you. I'm the God who provides. As you continue with the story with Abraham, it says the next day, the Bible says the next day, Abraham went into action. He says, I want you to sacrifice your son, your one and only son, on the mountain I'm going to show you. It says the next day, Abraham went into action. You know what's interesting is that you don't see Abraham pleading for God, to God, for the life of his son. It's really interesting. And maybe he did. But it goes on, it says this in verse 3. It says, when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. This is a powerful verse, and we skip over it when we read this passage in Genesis, if you have, because sometimes we get here and we're like, okay, so he cut. Could you imagine getting up the next day and you're cutting the wood that is supposed to be the wood you use to sacrifice your son as a burnt offering? That'd be quite the chore, wouldn't it? But it's really interesting, and it shows us a lot of the character of Abraham's life. It shows us the power of Abraham's life and what he was doing, because Abraham didn't wait around. He didn't wait around for God to explain everything. He didn't even wait around for God to provide everything. What Abraham did is he knew at least the basics of what God had called him to do, and he moved into action. He got up the next morning, he cut the wood, he saddled the donkey, and he started walking. I want you to think about that in your life. He got up the next morning, he cut the wood, he saddled the donkey, and he started walking. He didn't know everything that was going to happen. He didn't know all the details. He wasn't waiting for all of the T's to be crossed and all the I's to be dotted. He just did the next thing in front of him. Which, when we recognize that we have a God who provides, what we need to know is that faith moves towards God's provision. God, I don't know what's going to happen next, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the next step. I'm going to put my hands into action. I'm going to put my life into action, and I'm going to start moving forward. And this might not be the full completion of your provision, but at least as I'm moving forward, the answer is going to come. Are you with me today? I want you to think about this, because too many times we just sit around, what about God's provision? What about? Well, God's provision comes when we start moving forward and we start taking action. Abraham got up the next day and he cut the wood, he saddled the donkey, and he started walking. This is a powerful moment for us because we see this all throughout Scripture about how our faith should move us into action, not sitting, not doing nothing, not being lazy, not being a sluggard, but we're moved into action. It might not be the full answer, but at least as we take the next step, guess what? You can't see the next bend in the trail until your feet start moving. And that's why when we read James 1:18, it helps us to understand a little bit more about how our faith should move us to action. It says, show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. In other words, by my doing. How is your faith moving you to action? Listen, I've done a lot of things in life. I've been in a lot of situations. This is a perfect example of us being temporarily right now at Regal Cinemas. I didn't want this to happen. This is not where I would have chosen for me to be right now. This is not where I would have chosen for you to be right now. Because a lot of you turn it into nap time. But yet oftentimes, when I look back at where God's had me and had us as a church, I'm thankful for those times because that moved us into action to do something we might not have been able to do before or even chosen to do before, but God turned it around for good. Faith moves us into the action because faith takes action. Abraham could have sat at home in his tent and just bemoaned and cried and boo-hooed and just waited around and waited around and waited around and waited around, but he didn't. He moved into action because faith is an action word, and it moves us into the next thing that God has for us. That's why Psalms 128 says, it says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Do you fear God today? That means, let me simply help you to understand what it means to fear God. It means to love what God loves and hate what God hates. It means I walk in that reverence to him, and I hate what he hates, and I love what he loves. If you fear the Lord, you're blessed. Blessed are you who walk in his ways. And watch this. It says, you shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. Everybody say, my hands. Of your hands. That means your hands are doing, your hands are working, you're putting your hand to the plow. It might not be what you want to do right now, but as we put our hand to the plow, God begins to open up more doors for us. And he goes on and says, you shall be blessed and it shall be well with you. The Bible says in Jeremiah, it says, cursed is anyone who is lax in doing the Lord's work. Oftentimes we find ourselves in life, we're not, in our lives, we're not in the position and the place we really would have chosen. This is not what I dreamed for myself. This is not the job I wanted. This is not the place I was thinking I was going to be. But yet, here you are. And so what are you going to do? You're going to trust in the God who provides, and you're going to move your faith forward into action. And sometimes the only thing you can do is what's right in front of you. What is the very next thing you can do? And you take that step and you watch God begin to open up the doors for you. And you watch God begin to provide for you because he is the God who provides. He does this for Abraham. Watch this. It says, on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He'd seen the place where God told him to sacrifice his son. And he said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship. Everyone say worship. And then we will come back to you. I love Abraham's faith because he uses the term we here. We're going to go worship and we're going to come back. I believe this is a statement of faith for Abraham. And he says, we're going to go up and we're going to worship and then we're going to come down. Abraham, listen, Abraham found the place of worship We have found the person we worship. You see, God's provision is found in the person that we worship, not just in the place. Too many times, especially in American Christianity, we're so worried about the place of our worship, when our focus should be on the person of our worship. The person we worship is Jesus Christ. That's where our focus should be. That's where our heart should be. Ultimately, God's provision wasn't going to be in this place. It was going to be in the person. I think it's very interesting, and I think it's a powerful thing, and we miss it sometimes. It says, after 3 days, Abraham looked up, and he saw the place where God told him to worship. After 3 days in the tomb, Jesus rose from the dead, and we look up and we see the person of our worship. Jesus crucified and risen from the dead. And so as we begin to go through situations in life where God, we say, God, I need provision, what we should put our focus on is not so much the provision or the place, but the person. You can worship God anywhere. Come on, you can worship God anywhere. You can put your focus on Him anywhere. And we have to discipline our mind and discipline our spirit to say, God, I'm putting my focus on You. Abraham went up the mountain to find God's provision, and Jesus came down to be our provision. These are powerful truths in Scripture. And we recognize the person who we give our focus to. Abraham has a great response here we're going to see in just a minute. But let me ask you this. What is your response when God provides? Are you overwhelmed with joy? Sometimes we're kind of like the kids who didn't get what we wanted. We got something, but this is not what I asked for. My wife and I, my truck is about 7 years old, but my truck has this great feature. It's the lazy man's cruise control, where it will sense the car in front of you, and it will automatically match the speed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, only 5 of you. Okay, sorry, maybe you don't have that feature. My wife's car does not have that feature. And so we're always, you know, complaining what a piece of junk she has because it doesn't have that one feature. It's just a family joke. But sometimes we're like that. We're like, we have something great, but it's always in this context of, that's nice, but it's not good enough. And sometimes we get that with God. Oh, this is nice, God, but this is not good enough. And you've heard me say it many times, Fusion Christian Church, that if God never did anything else for you for the rest of your life, until the day you die, He's already done enough by giving us Jesus. Everything else is a perk. What is it that you do when God provides? This, a couple weeks ago, we were with our team and we were in Guatemala and we were literally going from village hut to village hut. And I'm talking, these things are like a few pieces of wood and metal, the metal tin walls and a roof with dirt floors. Most of them don't have shoes. They live up there. They work on the farm. And most of the pastors of the churches that I met up there, they would go work in the field in the morning and then would come pastor the church and then they would go back to the field in the afternoon. And they're working plots of ground that do not belong to them. They only get paid by the owners. And so we were bringing these bags of food into this one hut. And we sat the food down and we're talking to them through a translator and we're just praying for them and we're blessing them. And several people gave their lives to Christ. We're going from village hut to village hut. And it was a powerful moment. And I walked away from one with the team. We walked out of one little house. And I heard this noise as I was kind of standing there. And it sounded like, I don't know, kind of like somebody was in distress from the house we had just left. And I peeked my head around the corner and I captured the moment of what was going on. I was a little invasive, but they didn't see me. But what you'll see on the ground, I'm going to show you a video. What you see on the ground is the food we had just given them, and I want you to listen to their response. Watch this.
Alcanzar mi la palabra, Dios mío, hijo mío. Vaya pues a predicar palabra, ya sabemos que la va a notar Dios. No, Señor, apetecemos, Padre, Dios que la animar, Señor. Dios que la animar, papá. Dios que la animar, Dios Padre, que la rostra de esta gente, Señor.
Isn't that a powerful moment? We had literally been out of the hut maybe 20 or 30 seconds, and they scooted their chairs together and started weeping in prayer and thanksgiving to the Lord. What's your response when God provides? Everything you have is a provision from God. And our response should be overwhelming gratitude to Him who is our great provider. It was a powerful moment for me to recognize, God, I'm just so many times ungrateful in the truest sense of the word for the provision that you've given me. Changed my perspective and encouraged my perspective to be more generous and more grateful to the God who provides. Abraham's story continues in verse 6, and it says, as the two of them went up together, Isaac spoke and said to his father, Abraham, Father, am I? He said, yes, my son, Abraham replied. He said, the fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. He didn't say, you're the offering. He said, no, God himself will provide a lamb for the burnt offering. And this is a prophetic moment in Abraham's life, and we see it in Scripture because God did provide a lamb. Not only will he do it right now as providing a ram as a substitute for Isaac, but later the lamb will come, Jesus Christ. And in that very same area, Christ sacrificed himself, laid his life down as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So when we read later on in the New Testament the words of John the Baptist, we recognize from this story how true they really are, because John the Baptist said this. He said, look, when he saw Jesus, he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29. He said, look, he takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus became that lamb. As God's one and only Son, he sacrificed, laid down his life for us. And we see that fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ. You see, God meets all of our needs in and through Jesus Christ. In and through who? Jesus Christ. Not in and through you. Not me. But in Christ. And that should change our perspective in life about who really should be meeting our needs, and that's Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:19 reminds us that when it says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. That's why I love the psalm when it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. I shall not want, because he himself is my great provision. He's the God who provides. Abraham goes up the mountain with his son. The story goes on, and he ties his son, he binds him, and he lays him on the altar to sacrifice him. And as he's raising the knife to actually kill his son and sacrifice him as a burnt offering, the Lord speaks to him through the angel of the Lord in verses 11 and 12. It says, but the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven and says, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. We see a powerful moment here where God provides, speaking out his word, to Abraham. Could you imagine the relief in Abraham's demeanor right then? He's like, here I am. Yes, I was hoping you would show up right now. Talk about waiting till the last minute. Have you ever felt like God waits till the last minute? Anybody? Like, what is he doing? If he would just stop doom scrolling, pay attention to my needs, Here's the truth about God. God's provision may come at the last moment, but it's never late. It's always right on time. Right at the moment he precisely wants it to be there. So God speaks out to Abraham, "Abraham, don't touch the child. Now I know that you trust me. Your faith has been tested and it has been proved pure and true. Because you didn't withhold your son, your one and only son. What is it that you have been withholding from God? What have you been withholding from him? He's been talking to you about giving this or doing that, and you've been withholding from him. Those are times of testing in our faith. Abraham looks up, and right at the right time, he looks up and he sees a ram, the Bible tells us, caught in the thicket. So he takes her. He's probably never been so happy to see a ram in his entire life. And he sees this ram, and he goes over there, and he says, "This is the best ram I've ever seen." And he brings it over, and he sacrifices the ram in place of his son, and he worships God there with the burnt offering that was not his son. Genesis 22 tells us, verse 14 tells us Abraham's response, and it says, "So Abraham called the place, 'The Lord will provide.' And to this day it is said, 'On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided.'" Abraham put his faith in action, took his son, cut the wood, did all the things God had asked him to, climbed the mountain, and God says, your faith has been tested and proven pure and true, and because of that, I'm going to bless you, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed because of you. And the ram was caught in the thicket. He sacrifices the ram. He says, "This is the Lord who will provide." This becomes one of the names of God we recognize in Scripture. It's called Jehovah Jireh, which means "the Lord will provide." The names of God in the Bible are descriptive in nature because they help us understand a little bit more about an infinite God who is beyond our ability to know without a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so when we see these names of God like Jehovah Jireh, it helps us to understand a little bit more about who God is, his character and his personality, so that we might know him better and follow him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. What's interesting about Abraham's response, and he said, he called it the place, "The Lord will provide." He didn't call it the place, "The Lord did provide." He called it, "The Lord will provide." It wasn't a past sense, but it was a future sense. That God's going to continue to keep on providing. You see, God's past provision gives us confidence in his future provision. Think of all the things that God has done for you in your life. And you know what that should do? It should give you confidence in the future provision of God. Because he's the Lord that will provide. He did provide through Jesus Christ, and he will continue to provide it in our life as we continue to follow him. It wasn't based on past, it was based on the future of the God's never going to change. He's going to continue to be our Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide. And we're believing that not only for our lives, but we're believing that for this church, that God is going to provide. And we trust him to provide. You see, Abraham was never meant to meet his own needs, and neither are you. Now, that doesn't mean we sit around and do nothing. We recognize that in the doing, our faith is made stronger, our faith is purified, our faith is vetted, so to speak, and we put our faith into action. Doing the things that God maybe, you know, that we didn't want to do, or we thought, man, I'm above this. I'm telling you right now, little side note, for 4 years, I worked at a funeral home going through Bible college, and one of my jobs at the funeral home I would earn an extra $20 at night, and I did it every single night. I would earn an extra $20. I would literally pick up dead bodies. That's what I did. I hated that job. I don't know any kid that grows up and said, that's what I want to do. But I did it because that's what God had provided at the moment. And sometimes that's all we can do is I can only do what God's provided for me right now. But I'm trusting even in this little bit, as I'm faithful with this little bit, God's going to provide the much, as He's the God who will provide. Not that He just did provide. He's going to continue providing. Why? Because His name is Jehovah Jireh, the God who will provide. And I trust Him in all those ways. So what should we do? I want you to look for what God wants to provide for you, not just what you want Him to give. There's a big difference there. It's okay to ask God for things. It's okay to trust God for things. But recognize that maybe what you're asking for is not what God wants to give you. And don't tell the provider what the provision has to look like. Don't put God in a box. Just say, God, I want your will. I want your plan. I'm sure Abraham never even thought that this would be a possibility, but yet God had him go through this. And it's a great example to us about the God who provides, about the God who continues to move in our life, and the God who says, you know what, I'm going to continue to provide for you, and I want you to be okay with that. And trust that He's going to give us what He wants us to have, not necessarily what we want us to have.